We're talking with Joe Lombardo, who's one of the co-chairs of the United National Anti-War Coalition. We want to talk to Joe about a couple issues. One about the military coup taking place in Bolivia at the moment. But also this Thursday or this week, the United Nations is going to be holding, I guess, some type of convening around the issue that United States seems to really like to sanction different countries. So, Joe, can you explain to the listeners what is United Nations doing with respect to the issue of sanctions?
Well, there was a meeting about a month ago that took place between 88 countries involved that are kind of reconstituting themselves as the non-aligned nations. There had been a group of non-aligned nations when the two superpowers, Soviet Union and United States, were there, and these were groups of nations that did not fall into the orbit of either. But there are 88 nations, they say 88 plus one because China has joined them. These are they are going to have a meeting at the UN and to discuss sanctions. The United States has unilateral sanctions against 39 countries that is causing tremendous damage and death in these countries, and they believe that it's illegal and should be stopped.
So, you know, what's the highest total, or like the second highest country in terms of the number of, you know, sanctions they're imposing on other countries? Is the United States, you know, way out of line compared to any of the other country?
Pretty much the United States has done, has imposed unilateral sanctions. They've been joined by other countries who will support those sanctions. But also they sometimes, when they want to seriously sanction a country, demand of all other countries that if they don't go along with the sanctions and they continue to trade with these countries, they themselves will not be allowed to trade with the United States. And so even if they're opposed to the sanctions, the United States is such a big market that, you know, they have to support the sanctions against Cuba or Venezuela, for instance.
Well, you mentioned, you know, Cuba and Venezuela. Probably most listeners are aware, you know, somewhat of an antagonism between the United States and those countries. But you mentioned there are dozens of other countries. What are some of the other countries, and why are we sanctioning them?
Well, pretty much we use sanctions as a form of warfare against countries that we, the United States and the State Department, doesn't like, United States government. So North Korea is sanctioned, Russia is sanctioned, China is sanctioned, Bolivia was sanctioned. Of course, Bolivia might change because of this coup that's going on. Nicaragua is sanctioned. Many, many countries, is 39 in all. Zimbabwe has some kind of sanctions. Syria, of course, and others.
So what can United Nations actually do other than, you know, maybe wave their finger at the you know, Trump and the United States? But does United Nations have any power to roll back any of these sanctions?
Well, the United States, United Nations, I believe, has pretty much gone along with what the United States wanted. There's often been votes. So recently there was a vote against the blockade against Cuba, with very severe sanctions that we have against Cuba. Every country in the world except for the United States and Israel voted that these sanctions are wrong. So in many cases, it's just a political repudiation of the United States policy, and they can't really do very much. Of course, if the Security Council decides to do something, more can happen. However, the United States has vetoed many, many times moves in the Security Council to condemn sanctions or to condemn policies of Israel or other things that the United States doesn't want to see happen. So a lot of it is just a political statement, but there is some power. But with the United Nations but they haven't really used that in any force against the illegal sanctions that the United States has done in the past. This meeting on the 14th, this Thursday, is an attempt to start some kind of campaign within the UN to oppose the sanctions that might have some teeth. Whether or not that's going to happen or not, I don't know.
Now, you know, the big foreign policy news in the last day or so has been that Morales, the elected president of Bolivia, had decided or agreed to step down after tremendous pressure from the military and other right-wing forces, and he had actually agreed earlier in the day, apparently, to hold new elections. What exactly is going on in Bolivia?
Well, Morales is pretty popular. His economy under Morales, and he's one of the countries that has been sanctioned, despite the sanctions, has been growing at the greatest rate of any country in Latin America for the past several years. He has taken the poverty rate and halved it, so it's half of what it was before. And he's created great benefits for the poor people and the indigenous population, which is a very large percentage of the population in Bolivia. And he himself is the first indigenous president. But the United States, as with Venezuela and other countries, typically does not like to see the wealth of country and the resources of the country go back to the people, because it denies the U.S. corporations and Wall Street to take some of that wealth as investments and use it to make themselves richer. So the United States has always opposed these kind of moves. So the United States has been opposed to Morales all along. Marco Rubio has been recently tweeting a lot right before the last round of elections. He says, "We can't assume these elections are going to be fair. Something else has to happen." So he kind of knew this was going on. And Morales has been warning against a coup for the last several months. But the elections did happen. And according to their electoral policy, if one party, the leading party, the party that gets the most votes, gets 10% more than the party who gets the second most votes, there does not have to be a runoff election. And he got more than 10%. And so there was not a runoff election. So the opposition cried foul and said that, no, we don't believe that. We think there was some irregularities with the elections. The United States said, yeah, we think there were some irregularities with the election. And so did the Organization of American States, which is very highly influenced by the United States because the United States pays 60% of their budget. However, none of them gave a single piece of evidence to show this. They just didn't like the fact that Morales is popular and won. And so there's some very violent demonstrations. People were killed. Homes of people that supported Morales were burnt down. Families were attacked. A mayor that supported Morales was dragged out and beaten and her hair cut off. Very, very violent things. And the police and the military first said, well, we're not going to intervene. And then finally they said, we think Morales needs to step down. And that basically was a military coup. And it was clear that they were giving in to the wishes of the United States. And probably it was money that exchanged hands. And the whole opposition was helped by Alliance for Democracy and USAID and other NGOs that typically intervene into the affairs of other countries around the world, U.S. NGOs. So he had to step down. It was in great danger. He's now in hiding. Many of the Latin American countries have come out and opposed the coup. Mexico and some other countries have said they will give him asylum. But what is not being reported now is that there's a huge opposition to this coup that's being developed in an indigenous city of 1 million people just south of La Paz, the capital. They've started setting up barricades. They are arming themselves. They intend to take their country back. And so what will happen, I don't know. And the person who decided to become president when Morales stepped down was an opposition figure from the Senate. She just declared herself president, very much like what the person in Venezuela did, this Guaido guy. They declare themselves president, and the U.S. endorses them, and then says that's the legitimate president.
Joe, we're out of time. We've been talking with Joe Lombardo from the United National Anti-War Coalition.